Putting a little mystery twist on the music right now. Larry Mueller here, because we're going to be talking about some mysteries with our guest today. Jeff Nania recently published his second mystery novel. It's called Spider Lake. We'll talk to him about it, how he got it writing. We'll also talk about all the other works that he's done. I mean, he's a conservationist, still is, obviously. He's a police officer, had been a police officer, and he's had some pretty successful books here. I know his first book was at least four printings, and maybe more. I'm not sure. And the second one, I don't know. I'll ask him how it's going. But I wonder if you've read either of Jeff's books. I've got them right in front of me. One's called Spider Lake, and the other is called Figure Eight. The first one was Figure Eight. The second, Spider Lake. It's part of the Northern Lakes Mysteries series. And Jeff Nania, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you for having me.
It's going to be a lot of fun. You've done something a lot of people dream about: retire and write a book. How did that happen? And it's a great story as to how you...
It is really a great story. So my family, my father and a friend of his, years ago before I was born, headed up to northern Wisconsin to hunt grouse. Mm-hmm. They stayed at a work camp that was being converted to a resort on a Spider Lake. My dad asked the guy who ran this, he said, you know, this is a beautiful place. I'd like to bring my kids back in the summer. I said, that's just what I want. I want people to bring their children here. I hadn't been born yet. And my dad then brought my brothers back the next year, the next summer. And this year, believe it or not, will be the 70th year my family has gone to the same place on the same lake.
And, that's amazing.
And every year we read a mystery book. We'd get to buy a bunch of this one author's mystery books and give them out to all the kids and everyone, and we'd enjoy it and have great fun. And this mystery writer didn't write a book that one year, so I wrote Figure Eight.
You said if she's not going to write, and the author that you always read was somebody from
Victoria Houston.
Victoria, yep. Houston and I have had some wonderful conversations,
and it was great fun. And that's it.
And so you said, "I'm going to just write a book."
Yes, I did.
You sat down and wrote the book.
Actually, that's what I did.
Oh man, that's a great, great story, because a lot of people, and I talk to a lot of authors, they say, "Well, I started and I went to writers' workshops and you know, did a lot of that sort of thing." But you didn't do that.
No. And
not to say that isn't a good thing to do.
No, I think it's a great thing to do. It's just that I had this story in my mind, and I just sat down, and actually I've got a wood stove on the porch of our house. Mm-hmm. I got the stove going and sat down and was quite comfortable drinking coffee, and I wrote this book. And it's been a wonderful experience for me.
So what was your process on this? Different writers have a different way of approaching it. Some people know the end before they start. Other people make outlines, and some people just start writing.
Yeah. I just started writing. I kind of knew what was going to happen at the end, but I had to get there. And the other part of it is I wanted my books... Having been in law enforcement and having been in conservation, I really wanted my books to be technically correct. I did not want mistakes. And believe me, if you write a book with law enforcement stuff in there and you know a bunch of old cops, they will tell you if you have made a mistake.
You'll hear about that. But yes. You have, and before we even get into the book itself, you have such an interesting career and history. I read an article that Doug Moe wrote about you for Isthmus. It was a wonderful piece. And in there mentioning, and I had remembered seeing that in Outdoor Life magazine, actually, that you were named by Outdoor Life magazine as one of the 25th most influential conservationists in the United States. What an honor.
It was a great honor.
Talk about that. Tell me about that background.
Well, the conservation background in general, it just was, it's something that came upon me. I'd always been an outdoorsman. I believed in the outdoors, and I loved that whole thing. But when I left law enforcement, this is going to sound crazy. So I restored a wetland on a farm that I bought, and I was hooked. I was fascinated. I could not believe that just me, that someone could do this. And it resulted in a whole new career. But part of the outdoor life thing and other things is I recognize that we have to be proactive as professionals, as citizens, as everyone, regarding our natural resources. We do not have this luxury. You know, anybody who tells you we have this luxury of giving away waters of the state of Wisconsin or giving away our wetlands, they're mistaken. And they're saying that because it's some advantage to them. But we have to do something about it. I've restored a lot of wetlands. And I always tell people, they ask me how many. I said, well, not enough. Because one bill that gets passed in the legislature that allows destruction of wetlands would undo all the work I did over 25 years.
Yeah.
And so I worked with a lot of great people, George Meyer, the former DNR secretary, and others, and we really, and people in the legislature who were good folks. Dale Schultz, Senate chair of the Senate Natural Resources Committee, Neil Kedzie, Rob Coles, who said, hey, we're going to help you with this. Now, they're on the conservative side, so it was great, and it made a lot of difference, but it also empowered our folks.
Jeff Nania, our guest today, he is the author of the Northern Lakes Mystery Series, which we haven't even begun to really talk about yet. The first book that he wrote is called Figure Eight, and the second is Spider Lake. And I've had fun reading them, and I think you might as well, or maybe you already have. I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments as we move along today. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. So maybe set the stage. You know, and I tell you what, if I at reading the second book, I think it's better to read them in order, to be perfectly honest.
I think so, too. Although a lot of people have just read the second book, and a lot of people have read the first book, and it's
they're both available.
Yes,
so
they are. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the second book, well, people could still go back and read the first book.
Well, and it does. The first book does. You meet this guy named John Cabrelli. Mm-hmm. And Cabrelli he's a human being. He is not perfect. And he's faced with a horrendous situation, not unlike situations that law enforcement officers are faced with every day. And as a result, he loses his job. And it's good to meet him. He is a conglomeration of a lot of people I know. And actually, the truth is, he's kind of become a friend of mine. I really like the guy.
So you feel like you've gotten to know him.
I absolutely do.
It always interests me. Now, I've written some books, but mine are of academic nature. So I haven't, and I'm one of those people who say, oh, I'd love to take the time to sit down and write a mystery, and I actually have the framework for one in my head, but I haven't gone ahead and done it yet.
Well, it's about time, don't you think?
Well, you know, I'm not going to live forever, I guess, but just getting started in it.
It is, you know, and it was a pleasure for me when I got started. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the whole process. I enjoyed telling the story. I enjoyed thinking about experiences I had had and experiences other people I knew had had and putting some of those things on paper and blending them into this story.
You know, it's like write what you know about.
It is write what you know about. And that is, I actually gave my first writer's workshop, and that was the thing I said is, you know, first of all, you should really enjoy what you've written, and be happy with it. And secondly, write what you know about. It's hard to go out and learn a whole new thing. And there will always be people who will say, oh, that's not right. That's not right.
Jeff Nania, our guest. Timothy and Madison, I'm going to let you, I hope you can hold on here because we're running a little out. We're running, bumping up to the newscast. So Tim and Madison, stay with us, Timothy. Our guest today is Jeff Nania. He is the author of Spider Lake and Figure Eight, both books in the Northern Lakes Mystery Series. You can join in, too, along with Timothy at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Take a look at the news, weather. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with Jeff Nania. I'm Larry Mueller. You are listening to the Ideas Network. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Do you like mysteries that are set in Wisconsin? I sure do. Always loved reading them. And I'm glad you're listening in on the Ideas Network today because Jeff Nania is with me and he's written a couple of books that are set in northern Wisconsin, as a matter of fact. He calls it the Northern Lake Mystery Series. And his latest is called Spider Lake. His first was Figure Eight. They're both available, of course. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments. What do you have about writing and getting published? Questions about that? Why do you like reading books set in Wisconsin? Be part of the conversation. The number to call is 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Jeff, Timothy and Madison's been waiting a bit, so let's go there to Tim. Thank you so much, Timothy, for calling. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Larry. Well, I have read both of the books, and the interesting thing is that traditionally I read nonfiction books, so I'm interested in things about what's going on. But I got involved in these books, and I think maybe the fact that they had to do with Wisconsin, and I got involved in them, and I really enjoyed them, and I found I had a hard time putting them down, and I look forward to reading the next chapter. So, and this guy Cabrelli, who he writes about, I've gotten hooked on how this law enforcement person does. So my question, though, for the author is that, number one, where does he get his ideas? I mean, are a lot of these things that he just comes up with, or are some of these based on his experience in law enforcement? Because he obviously has had a background in that, and so where does he come up with those? And number two, is he working on a third book? Because I have enjoyed them, and I'm just sort of curious.
All right. Tim, thanks a lot for calling.
Well, Tim, thank you for calling. Most of the things that happen in the book are based on things that have happened. Some of them have happened to me. Some of them happened to friends of mine. Some of them happened to the collective law enforcement community. Some of them happened to the environmental community. In Figure Eight, the first book, we talk about a way a guy is going to try and prevent land from being taken through eminent domain, and the Endangered Species Act comes into play, which has been a successful way that conservationists have used in the past, well, to promote thought before action. So I try and use things that have happened. Sometimes things that could happen, mm-hmm. but I try and bring some credibility to the stories.
Yeah, and those just come out of your experiences and those you've shared with.
And I have lots of friends who I, 2 weeks ago, I sat down with a retired FBI agent from Madison, who was had just retired from being a medical examiner in Dane County, and spent a lot of time getting some information from him. So I'm buying these sources of information.
Well, does that mean then, Tim's other part of his question was, are you going to do a third book in this series?
I'm working at it. Not right this minute, but I'm working away at it. Yes, there'll be a third book.
Tim, thanks. So there's a third one on the way, Tim. So get your reading glasses out. It'll be here before, I don't know. I shouldn't say before long. It's probably going to take a while yet. But
probably about November.
November. Okay.
And I want to mention, we do a lot of work with independent bookstores in Wisconsin. We do, you know, Barnes & Noble and other stores also, but we really do spend a lot of time with independent bookstores. And our books are available at, and if you go to feetwetwriting.com, it'll show you which bookstores have it and which have it in stock and which carry it. So,
is that your website again?
Feetwetwriting.com, yes.
Feetwetwriting.com.
Yes.
I love that.
Yep.
Tim, thanks again. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Well, talk a bit more about the what's going on, without giving everything away here, but talk a bit more about what's going on with the book. And you talked about figure eight a bit, I think, just sort of introducing the main person, John Cabrelli, retired cop, and man, he in the first book, without going into anything, that was just a horrendous experience that you hope nobody ever has to have happen to them.
It is a story about a police officer who does have a horrendous experience. People who are in emergency services, you know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning and somebody breaks into your house and you call 911 and some person you don't even know, a mother or a father or a brother or a sister to somebody else, drives 100 miles an hour to get to your house to do what they can. And you expect a police officer to do something when they get there. And John Cabrelli is faced with that situation. That has a lot of, it impacts professionals and law enforcement officers and firefighters, for that matter, often and forever.
Yeah.
But in figure eight, the concept of the land healing us.
Yeah.
There are so many people, particularly in the state of Wisconsin, who understand this concept of walking the land, of being part of the outdoors, and how that is a healing thing. It's good for us. And John Cabrelli, my buddy John, he finds healing through the land. He inherits a cabin in northern Wisconsin. Hasn't been there in years, but it belonged to his uncle. And when he gets there, he sees this whole different place. The title of the book, Figure Eight, is A Figure Eight Goes Around. Mm-hmm. And we come to different points in our life, the same place at different points in our life. So one time we were a little kid fishing there, mm-hmm. another time, and they always look different, and the experience is different. And John Cabrelli finds Figure Eight many times.
And Spider Lake, the second in this, let's talk a bit more about that. He's got a love interest.
He does.
Doesn't start that way. Well, it kind of does. I think there was some attraction there right away. Julie Carlson, I think.
Julie Carlson, yes.
Carlson. And then there's her brother, Bud Treetle.
Treetall.
Arvid.
Yeah, his first name's really Arvid, but they call him Bud.
And then there's Len Bork, who's the acting police chief, and there's Ron Carver, the jeweler, and Jim Rawson, the sheriff, and Jack Wheeler. Those are the attorney.
And yeah,
those guys have. That's the core. Those are the core people in the book. Now there is only one female in there, Julie Carlson, and Jill asked me. I wonder if Jill and Nadeau, my producer, and I were talking. We were wondering. She was wondering. I wonder if that was intentional, that he's kept. He hasn't focused much on women in the book.
Julie is a powerful figure. She has absolutely able to put the men in this book in their place at will. And she does so a lot in Spider Lake.
Yeah.
And she is a teacher. One of my other passions has been environmental charter schools in Wisconsin. We've worked to develop them. And Julie runs an environmental charter school in Namekagon County, Muskie Falls. And it's called Northern Lakes Environmental Charter School. By the way, the jeweler, if you go into a jewelry store on the main street in Hayward, although this is not Hayward, it's a fictitious town, and ask the jeweler, tell him you read the book, he'll give you a 10% discount.
That's great. I love it. I've spent a lot of time in Hayward, as a matter of fact.
You just walk into, it's actually a silver shop. Right in the center of town there. It's a beautiful place. Just walk in, ask for Ron, and say, I read this book. I want 10% off.
Is it near the Moccasin Bar?
Larry, I'm surprised you know about the Moccasin Bar. It's a couple blocks away.
Okay, there you go. I always go to the Moccasin Bar just to look at the muskies.
I can understand that.
If not, and have a beer, too. But we've had quite a few people call and ask, how do you spell Jeff's last name? So they're looking for it, and I should have done that right away. His name is pronounced Nania, and it's spelled N-A-N-I-A, N-A-N-I-A. So there, if you want to look him up, and if you go to his website too,
either way, it works just fine.
And what's the website again?
Feetwetwriting.com.
Feetwetwriting.com. Oh, we'll get that in. We'll bring that up again a little bit later on. Well, the main characters in the book, was it easier to write about men than women? Just to go back to that for a minute.
Well, I think that no. I don't think it was easy to do whatever. It just kind of came together that Julie was, Julie's first meeting with John Cabrelli.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She thinks this guy's a burglar.
Yeah.
And he's sitting in an easy chair, and he wakes up, and she has a shotgun pointed at him.
Yeah.
Later on, he says to her, since she didn't shoot him, he says, was that gun loaded? And Julie says, looks at him like he was stupid and says, of course. What good is a gun that's not loaded? And Julie is someone who, my heroes are teachers, and she is a teacher. And but she doesn't just teach the kids.
She works on him and everybody else in her life as well. So the plot of that book, we haven't really talked about the plot of that book. Mm-hmm. There's quite a bit going on there.
There is. And, one of the things that we talked about is, and I've talked with, unfortunately, crime has infiltrated even the smallest communities in our state. We have this ongoing problem, and no matter how hard citizens try and law enforcement tries, we're really unable to put it all to rest. We make some great successes, but it just doesn't seem to do it. And so I wanted to discuss this situation where crime has actually infiltrated the Northwoods of Wisconsin, and it has. And as a result, it moves in quietly, and as a result, people are affected by it. This kind of activity, affects everyone in the community. And so part of what happens is there's something afoot in northern Wisconsin. Now, John Cabrelli, I'll tell you two things about Cabrelli, and maybe nobody will read these books anymore after I say this. Mm-hmm. Number one, in these books, the bad guys are never going to win. And number two, Cabrelli is like a lot of people I've met in law enforcement. They have a true sense or feeling for justice. They really do. They feel that they have a lot of responsibility in that regard. So,
yeah. Joe in Chippewa has something for us. Let's go there. Hey, Joe, what's on your mind?
I'd just like to say hi to Jeff. I know exactly what jewelry store you're talking about. Because I was there, I got a chance to meet you one day. It was a rainy day in the festival morning, and I was there with my son, and you gave me a card, and I told you, obviously it worked. I told you I was going to get you there, find something, Larry Mueller show to see if you can get on, and there you are.
Joe, I remember you saying, I'm going to call and get you on Larry Mueller.
Exactly. You know, and since then, I've read your books, and I'm glad I did. I'm glad I ran into you that morning. This has been a great time reading them books. So I'm just saying, really glad you got a chance to get on there, and I'm keep on with the awesome work.
Joe.
And Hayward again.
Yeah. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. And really, the best thing about this whole thing with the books is there have been people that enjoyed them. I've been a lifelong reader, and I enjoy reading. And I love the fact that people enjoy this. And I love the fact that people contact me and say, boy, I really like those books.
It's, you know, I think that's part of, I don't remember ever talking to a writer, an author, who wasn't a big reader.
I don't think you could be an author and not be a big reader.
It's just not in the cards.
It'd be interesting to know what different writers actually read.
Yeah, I've asked Victoria Houston that. She's a pretty broad range of things that she reads and others too.
Yeah, she liked Figure Eight. She did.
Well, she's probably going to like Spider Lake too. I think I like Spider Lake even better than
it's kind of 50-50.
Well, the book itself, the nearer the end, there's quite a scene, a very long scene in there, and I wondered about that because it has to do with an escape and chasing, and I thought, man, that had to be a hard one to put together.
It was actually the scene at the end, about the last 30 pages.
Yeah, it's long.
I know it's, I'm glad people tell me how hard it is to put down, but it is structured on some true events that occurred that were combined in this, but it also, dealt with the issue of a person who really has no conscience.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people, unfortunately, that are like that, and they victimize all sorts of other people all their lives. And when you're faced with someone like that, you should be fearful.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. It's a pretty scary, wild, I should say, and scary 30 pages for sure.
I bet you didn't put it down, did you?
No, that part I just kept right on. I kept right on a reading when I got to that part. Well, and some of this, as you say, some of this of your writing has to go back to your experiences working in wetlands with the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association.
It is all part of it's all part of my life, and it's, you know, I love the natural resources of Wisconsin. I mean, I have this passionate love affair with that, and I couldn't write a book that didn't have that in it. And I love northern Wisconsin. Some of the very first wetland projects I ever did were actually on Highway 77, about 20 miles out of Hayward towards Clam Lake. And it's all combined. It's all pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah, just as an aside to that, what kinds of projects did you do? Let's take that one, for example.
Wetland restoration. And we went through the evolutionary process of, it started out, and I know we're, looking at wetland restoration, Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, I was doing some independent study work. Wisconsin Waterfowl Association was raising money to restore wetlands. Conventional wisdom said, if you put water on the landscape, you've restored a wetland. But in fact, that's not correct. And originally we're doing it to increase duck production, more wetlands, more ducks. And the sites would be used a lot for the first 3 to 5 years, and then the usage would drop off. Now, that's counterintuitive. That shouldn't happen. If you've restored a wetland and it reassumed its place in the landscape, then it should continue to grow. And so Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, along with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Foundation grant, sent myself and others afield to look at these wetlands, restored wetlands, altered wetlands, natural wetlands, to make some comparisons. And we found that, in fact, putting water on the landscape was not enough. And putting water on the landscape and having elevated structures that impounded water and flooded these areas did not provide all of the functions and values that a wetland does. And so we began to look at the process of restoring a wetland. I mean, how do you actually do it? And there were a lot of people that were involved in doing this. But my field guys, we were building the projects. We were identifying them, surveying them, planning them, funding them, and constructing them. And it was remarkable. And as a result, just over a period of just a few years, the quality of the projects got better and better and better, and the usage of for wildlife got better. You know, there were the conventional, what the literature at that time said, that it's a slope. You should dig a pond and put a steep slope in it. A 5-to-1 slope was recommended. But in our surveys, and we surveyed miles and miles and miles, we found out that most wetlands had slopes of 167-to-1. So they were flat.
They were flat, yeah.
Yeah, but the water would come up, and wetlands can change types in 0.2-foot increments, and all of a sudden you've got this. Let me say this. You're driving down the road. You see this wetland, and you say, boy, that's just beautiful. It fits into the landscape. It's just part of the landscape. If you're driving down the interstate between here and northern Wisconsin, there's a wetland alongside the road that's just a bomb crater. With nothing around it.
Well, you know, that was a great explanation. And some of that writing and some of your thinking certainly comes into your two books. Jeff, I want to thank you for taking time to be with us today. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you, and thank you for the service you provide to the community.
I appreciate that. Jeff Nania, last name is spelled N-A-N-I-A. Written two in the Northern Lakes Mystery Series. One is called The First Figure Eight, the second Spider Lake. And his website, go to his website again.
Feetwetwriting.com.
Feetwetwriting.com. Or any of your bookstores are going to have copies of them. And if they don't, they will order them for sure. And thank you all for listening. And please stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mealer. Thank you.